Praise God. Thanks. And I'm just gonna make a couple quick comments on what Pastor was saying. I really appreciate what he's saying. And I'm just gonna share a little bit of a challenge or weakness to me as people post things. And people are honored and excited and blessed to get that stuff off the internet. It seems like it's helping a lot of folks, and it's humbling. And I never go to a place to manifest what I've become in Christ, what I've grown to be in Him, or what He can do through me. Every place I go to cry from the rooftop of that platform that He's in us, and this is who we are, and we're a body of people that are to be like Him. I have no desire to be a superstar. That's actually a really freaky thought. Because every man is what he is by the grace of God. And no man has anything unless it's been given. So we need to be great receivers, not walk in a weird or false humility. Say yes to every yes of God and walk in that place of grace that's available. I don't want to be known in history as, you know, a great teacher or a man that had an extreme revelation or prophetic or giftings. If heaven knows me as a believer, everything else is in the right place. Because all those things come from believing God. Period. And all I want is a legacy. If I am seen when I stand before God as a man that believed, that is a good and glorious day. Do you follow me? Not a man that ministered this and saw this and experienced this. Just a man that believed. Because all those things come from believing God. I know we talk a lot about giftings and glory and atmosphere, and I'm not against all that. But man, I'm telling you, there's a grace available through relationship and knowing Him that is designed to so transform our lives and empower us to follow Him and touch the people around us within our little spheres of influence, which makes a big impact. You had every face I'm looking at, translate that into Christ in us, the hope of glory, and then take it further, Christ through us, the manifestation of that glory. Now we've touched some folks. And it's not because we gathered on the third Thursday of the month and evangelized our city. It's because we walk in love and we shine like He does. It's a big deal. So we're all called to that. We're a believer priesthood. We're a priesthood of believers that can walk by the Spirit. Amen? So I appreciate you honoring me and I understand honor and all that. And I understand and I realize that. Like this man came to me one day and he said, I want to thank you for two things. And I said, okay. He said, thank you for your obvious time spent in the Word and you giving yourself to God when nobody was around and getting to know Him and let Him reveal Himself. Thank you for that. I said, you're welcome. It was fun. But that's not wrong for him to thank me for that. And he said, and I said, what's the other thing? He said, your smile, dude, thanks. I said, I have nothing to do with that. I cannot take responsibility. If you'd see what I see inside and feel what I feel inside, you'd be smiling too. So the smile is not my fault. Hanging out with Jesus, yeah, I had something to do with that. You got to put yourself there. Better yet, when you put yourself there, believe what He's saying. When you read His Word, don't analyze it so much that you make it complex and talk yourself out of it. If He says He loves you through the Son, you say thank you. If He says you're forgiven, say wow. Don't say, yeah, but you know it was real, but you don't know. Stop. If He says, I forgive you, say thank you. If He says your life's worth the blood, say whoa, okay. And if He wants you to, if wants to fill you with Holy Spirit, say here I am. Just learn to be great receivers so you can be incredible givers. Some of us are trying to give before you've received. I understand blessed, it's more blessed to give than receive, but freely you have. Man, you got to receive something if you're going to give something. If you're going to give the revelation of righteousness, you've got to walk in that revelation. You can talk about it, but you're not empowered to impart it. When you understand sonship and you know who you are in Him, you can look people in the eyes and get alone and talk, and they can ask questions, and God will do things beyond what your words could ever do. Because you're not speaking from theology. You're speaking from knowing Him. And I'm encouraging every one of us in this room to take full privilege and opportunity to be with Him, because nothing compares to your ability to be with Him. Ministry training and schooling and all the stuff we do, I'm good with it all. But always remember this, nothing compares to your ability to be with Him. And that's where everything flows from. I don't think heaven's interested in you tapping into your gifting when it's needed. I think heaven's interested in you being one with Him and becoming like Him so that gifting can flow free whenever it wants to. Okay? Be with Him, church. Begin to see yourself the way He sees you. And don't let anything veil your face. Flip that thing up like a bride that's being wed. Get unveiled and uncovered and say, I'm yours. I'm telling you, some people, it would be so good to get alone in a bedroom with nobody around and just walk that thing out. Just, here I am. Thanks for loving me. Do you know many Christians have never faced that in a personal way with the Lord? They try to receive it through prayer. We've become very ministry crazed if we're not careful. And we're trying to get the blessing of the Lord and knowing the Lord and relationship with the Lord through the ministry of the Spirit, through one another. Man, the day you flip back the veil and say, the way you love me is awesome. Oops. It's a good thing. Man, I got excited today a couple times in the house. It's not my fault. I'm blaming it all on Jesus. I used to be a pretty miserable guy. I know you probably can't picture that. You shouldn't. I'm born again. I'm a new creature. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. That's not the issue. The issue is you have a greater destiny than what you've produced and failed in and what's happened to you. And you and I have to be very careful not to let life speak louder than truth. It's truth that makes you free. It's fixing your eyes on all this other stuff that makes big trouble for all of us. And next thing you know, you reduce this gospel of relationship and transformation into prayers of need and blessing and fulfillment and help me. And there's a place for that in situations. But that is so not the goal. The goal is knowing Him and becoming like Him in the world you live in. That's the goal. I turned you to it last night, Galatians 6. I didn't ever read it. I just preached it without reading it. But it's amazing, today it's still in your Bible. And you know what else? It says the same exact thing it said yesterday. Life hasn't been like that. People haven't been like that. Relationships haven't been like that. And because we're trying to find ourselves through all those things, we get shattered. But He's like that. He'll never change His mind. Stop trying to get affirmation from one another. Don't even think about it. It gets weird. You'll do things to get attention. You'll do things to be noticed. You can serve in a church double time because you love the esteem people give you for being the best servant ever. And you feed off of the praise. And it looks good on the outside. And it's not a good thing working on the inside. Because the day they fail to appreciate you, you've been done wrong. Because you go out of your way, and how come people don't appreciate me? And all of a sudden, your service isn't even love, it's need. You be real with me. If people have to thank you, you need to relook at why you do what you do. If people need to appreciate you and tell you you're awesome, you need to realign the why behind your life. You don't lay down your life for others because you need to be acknowledged. It's because you love. You guys okay? I don't even know what I'm doing, but we'll get there. It'll all work out, Pastor. I know you know that. You know what Galatians 6 said where I was going to take you? That nothing avails anything but a new creation. Good. Who was that? Yeah, you got him trained up, Brother Daniel. Thumbs up for Grace Place. We got it out of there, buddy. He knew it, man. You got to know this stuff. How can you defend against lies and even discern lies if your heart's not filled with truth? The way that seems right to man will eat your lunch every day, and you'll be bitter and hard and hurt and run over. And yet life is waiting for us through Christ Jesus, and the truth is in Him. Come on. Proverbs 4 says, in all you're getting, not some of your getting, in all of your getting, it doesn't say blessing. Get understanding. You've heard your whole life what you don't know won't hurt you. And that is not what this book says. You heard your whole life don't get your hopes up. That is not what this book says. You've heard your whole life what you see is what you get. That book right here doesn't say that. Every one of those phrases is the complete opposite in the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? You've been trained and I've been trained by a voice and a mentality that's not His. We've been trained by a wisdom that's not from above.
Wow. Yes.
You've heard, well, you made your bed, sleep in it. Come on. The Bible says get your hope sky high. The faith is the substance of what you're hoping for. That hope is the anchor of your soul that passes through the veil into His presence. The Bible's screaming, get your hope up. And in self-preservation, we're afraid to. Yeah, I don't want to growl on you here. I'll have to turn. Because I'm not mad at nobody. I just, these lies, man, these little foxes, they sneak in and they sure seem right. They seem right. And you muse them and they seem right. But when you look at what they're producing, it's obvious they're not Holy Spirit. When you look at how it's making you feel, think, and robbing you of productivity, and all of a sudden, the way that seems right to man produces nothing but death. But it sure seems right. But it seems right. If you're not careful, you'll bounce it off of people that feel like you're feeling, and you won't get the right answer. They'll just understand. Hurt people shouldn't go to hurt people to talk about it. You'll get cheered on to stay the same. They'll become your support system in staying the same. You'll lick each other's wounds and nobody will get healed. You'll accommodate your justification for being less than His image. Come on. It's not healthy to feel the need to always tell people how you feel. I'm not bashing people's right to feel things, but wonder if our feelings have gotten manipulated through the fall like everything else. Wonder if there's a salvation of your soul, of your mind and your emotions. Wonder if there's a redemption of all the things that God made you to be. And wonder if the cross and the truth take you back to that original place. Where fear's not even understood because you realize it's never just about you and just well-being and survival. It's about you shining in the face of it all. To the point of you're already dead, you've laid down your life. What if you don't pray for somebody with cancer because of the fear of death, but the promise of life and longevity and purpose? Wonder if we're not problem-driven people praying to catch a break. I wonder if we're covenant-driven people that shine in the face of it all as a sign and a wonder to men. Come on, guys.
Jesus.
Yeah. This thing is just not about getting your needs met. It's about being transformed from the inside out.
Wow.
Nothing avails but a new creation.
Yes. Amen.
Man, what have we accomplished if we sing well and worship with both hands and dance freely and fail to love one another? Have judgments and stereotypings and unforgiveness. We've missed the whole point and taught ourselves religion. If I can't show you mercy in the face of injustice, then I've missed him along the way. If I can't see the best in you when all you can see is the worst, then I don't have his eyes.
Wow.
And it doesn't mean I can't sing, "Holy is the Lord." You guys good?
Yeah.
Man, just be stirred by what I'm saying right now, because I don't have a clue. I have no direction here in the sense of what am I doing. I have no idea. And I don't usually say that, but I'm secure enough to tell you that. I can get real spiritual with you as I hear, I speak. I can quote John for you. I'm really excited about the gospel because it takes all the emphasis off of just us and our well-being. And it puts the emphasis on Jesus and who he is in us and through us. I've said it over and over. Anybody that's listened to me at all knows I've said this over and over. This gospel has always been about your and my transformation, not blessing. You don't come to God to catch a break. You come to God to get a new life. You don't even come to God to find favor. You come to God to get a new life. A whole new reason for being. It's been missed. I'm not being mean and I'm not being presumptuous and proud when I say this. In my 20 years of Christianity and my 53 years of life on the earth, that point right there alone has been missed horribly among us. At large, in those years that I've lived on the earth. I feel like at large, that point's been missed horribly. And we've made the gospel all about what he can do for us, how we're going to get through, catching the break, praying the right way to get the blessing. And we've become more self-serving and self-conscious in our prayers without realizing it than before we surrendered ourselves. Man, I'm not against you praying for a better job. But make sure your countenance is shining in the midst of that process. And make sure your joy is full because it's from your salvation, not your promotion. And if you get laid off, don't lose your disposition and fall apart and get on every prayer chain in your city. Lift your hands and thank God for covenant. And as quick as the door closed, one will open. And don't lose a wink of sleep. We've been tricked into from birth through Adam to think we are what we're going through. And we're only doing as good as things are going. And if that's all we see, we'll reduce the gospel to survival and making it through.
Yeah.
It's not cool. Don't you do that. Not one of you in this room. You're so much more than that. Nobody has to treat you right. Let alone everybody treating you right. We've got to learn as Christians, he treated us right. And when you deserve nothing and earned nothing, he gave you his kingdom because he created you for his kingdom and he's made wrong right. That should so impress us and so humble us that we want to become the same honor and the same thing that saved us. And if he looked at me that way, why wouldn't I want to see you that way? If I really believe he forgave me of everything I've ever done, then why wouldn't forgiving you be obvious? What do you mean? Well, I'm trying to forgive. That phrase is big time among us. Well, back off, Pastor. I'm trying to forgive. It takes time to get over some of this stuff. Who says? Why do we have a grid for unforgiveness? What do you mean you're trying to forgive? Why do we have a grid for unforgiveness now that he's come? Why do we call unforgiveness normal?
Wow.
Normal's love. Normal's His image. Normal's whatever you see in Him. Come on. He was from the beginning. And He will always be. And He doesn't change. And He's just right. Whether you like it or not, He's right. Yay. I don't know what I'm doing. Would you pray for me? Are you guys okay at all? Okay, because I'm a little unsure, but I'll get there. I'm in my mind the whole time going, God, what in the world are we doing? Yeah, help me, Jesus. God. Come on, man. We've been trained and we've been taught from the time we were born a lot of things. And Jesus said we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So the ways that I processed and thought and lived, you do me wrong, it affects me a certain way, and I'm going to get even or vengeance or gossip or payback. We've been trained that way. Stress and strife, angry, hurt, jealousy, insecurity. Those things were normal out of the gate to us. And the biggest trap in growing in Christ and manifesting Christ is believing that any of those things are normal. Because you'll give yourself a reason to be less than Him because of people. And you'll let the imperfection around you keep imperfection in you. Instead of being complete like your Father is complete in heaven. It says if you don't stumble in word, you're mature, you've been made complete. Don't be afraid of that word complete and perfected. The Bible talks about getting there. It means living from a pure heart. The pure in heart shall see God. Don't tell me we can't have pure hearts. Don't say, well, you know the heart, it's always wicked and wretched. Used to be. I got a new one. Read your Bible. I don't have the capacity to hate you anymore. I don't have the capacity to judge you and be cynical, to use you for my gain. I don't have the capacity to live at your expense. That's perversion of love. Love is lay down your life for another. We've lived at the expense of one another. We've used one another to get what we need. Some of us have said, I loved you because it benefited us in that moment. Come on. Get real with me. That's living at the expense of one another. And guess what love does? Lays down its life for one another. Do you hear the perversion? 180 degree twist. Trouble is, we were all trained by that lie. That's why we do these things right here. That's why we gather. It's not just for the manifestation of God healing folks or prophesying over folks or pouring out a spirit. Come on, the whole testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The word is so powerful. It has the power to transform your life in the moment of faith. Just saying yes to God is phenomenal. Just believing Him is life-changing. Yes. I'm not being mean to anyone in this room. We have to be careful we're not singing to Him and believing everything else. And that we're singing to Him in hope that He changes everything else. I'm singing to Him because He's amazing. Because He's the only one worthy. He authored this thing. He started it. It's His fault, remember? He started faith in me, and He'll finish it. And if I put my eyes anywhere else, I might miss that. And I might actually think, yeah, but, or well, you know, or hey, it's been a hard season. And let's get that out of our language. Let's stop thinking everybody has to be broken. Wow. The fact that we believe that means we'll be that. I'm just challenging some folks tonight in my heart and don't even know what I'm doing, but I feel that in my heart right now. Come on. If you just believe everybody else's experience, you might sell grace short in your life. I'm not following you. I'm following Jesus. I'm not following another pastor that had this experience. I'm following Jesus. And bless this other pastor, and I pray grace on his life. But just because he had this go through doesn't mean it has to be mine if I can't see it in Jesus' life. It still needs ministered to, still needs grace imparted, still needs restoration, all this stuff. But let's stop believing our experience above his life lived and what he called us to. Let's stop saying nobody's perfect. What are we trying to buy into? Let's say God's perfecting me and doing a work in me, and the things I used to desire I don't even think about anymore. I'm being changed. You say that when you're alone with God, and watch how your life changes in front of men. It's false humility, some of this stuff that we think. We think we have to talk ourselves down to lift him up. He's saying, would you come up hither? It's not arrogance. It's not presumption. Don't tell me I have to be evil inside. Don't tell me that I'm always going to think bad things. You're wrong. You don't live with me. I do. And I'm bold enough to talk this plain to you. So I'm either a fool and don't fear God, or I'm telling you the truth. And I'm trusting I'm telling you the truth. I'm banking on truth. Yay! Thanks for letting me come and cry out my heart like this, man. Can you hear I'm not correcting anyone in this room? I'm cheering us on. I'm saying this is who we are and this is what's possible. And let's not let any other thinking get in the way. As a man thinketh. That's pretty simple. So let's preach the gospel more. Not the problem. Not the feelings. Not the memories. Not the imaginations and flashbacks. You know what a flashback should do to you? It's to stir you in worship and get you to proclaim truth right in that moment. As soon as the flashback comes, you shouldn't feel dirty and gray out and think you sinned and call a friend for prayer. Are you kidding me? The second a flashback comes of yesterday, of something you wish you didn't do, of something you shouldn't have done, of something that ate you up in regret for years, and the devil says, boy, you're easy targets. Bam, bam. Jesus, I love you. You're awesome. Yay, I'm growing. Do, 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 do. It's all you just with a little thought. Oh my God. I thought I was over that. You are! Well, then why am I thinking that? I don't know. The devil's a jerk. He thinks you'll buy in. Whatever, and it seems to be working. Knock it off! The fact that the thought bothers you means it's not you! Why would you give it the time of day? The devil's a cut-off withering branch. He loves a stage to perform on. Don't put him on one. Don't make your war against the devil. Your war is fighting the good fight of faith and continuing to believe the finished work of Christ. You're not a man or woman with a problem or a past. You have an answer, and the kingdom of God is within you. So stop feeling defiled and dirty when you have a memory. Lift your hands and thank God you're changed and transformed, and you'll never be the same. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee. And if he doesn't, you'll just keep submitting to God and know him more. And then one day you'll have to hug the devil and thank him for provoking you to God. I heard my buddy Todd once say from the pulpit, and I thought, only Todd. He said, man, I don't know how it's really going to be in that day, but the Bible says we're going to see the devil, and we're all going to look and marvel and go, you're the one that wreaked havoc among the nations? Do you know that's in your Bible? And we're going to look at him and go, you? It was you? Isn't that in your Bible, Pastor Jim? You're the one. He said, you know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to go up and say, dude, come here, man. Give me a hug. I don't know what I'd have done without you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't know God anywhere near like I do, man. Thank you. fire. Come on, that's awesome. You don't have a problem. You have an answer. You have vindication through the cross. If your heart's sincere and there's true repentance in you, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Man, I'm not talking about some, we talked about this a little bit, some weird thing that just accepts your life because God loves you in grace, and then you keep living in the thing that you know is in Him. I don't ever preach that. When you understand what I preach, that's what changes. This gospel is designed to transform you, make you squeaky clean. Who has discernment and can hear things in the Spirit? Listen. Yeah! I'm losing it tonight, man. I don't know what's going on, man. Did you hear that? Whoa, man. Yeah! I'm not squeaking like that, man, because I found a way to sin and get away with it. Found a way to be free from it. And I'm not afraid to preach that. Because it's the truth. You reckon yourself dead indeed to sin. Stop waiting for it. Call it dead. Stop waiting for it to raise its head. And stop buying into the lie. You reckon yourself dead indeed to sin. But alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Yeah? He bore your sin and my sin in His body on a tree. Where is it? His body on a tree. That we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. And by His stripes, we're healed. Isn't that powerful? That's the God. I read this book. And you know what else? I believe it. And for 19 years, it's been amazing. I told you last night, and it's not because I haven't experienced life. My kids made terrible decisions at terrible times. My wife went into a season of deception, and all kinds of things closest to home looked like they were in shambles all at the same time. And you sure have never known it because it has nothing to do with who I am.
That's good.
I don't even need you to pray for me. I'm not one bit discouraged, disheartened, or weary. Jesus is alive in me. And they're not alive for me. I'm alive to love them and to stand strong and be an epistle of Christ in the face of it all. I'm not there for them to treat me right. I'm there to look like Jesus in the midst of it all. That's why I'm alive, friend. And that's why I'm going to stay alive for a long time. Did you get that? You like that? A long time, man. Shoo! I'm going to live a long time on the earth, too. I don't care what anybody thinks about that. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you. Because I got a lot of legacy to write and a lot of people to touch, and I ain't in a hurry to go at all. And I ain't afraid of environment and earth and air and all that stuff. Jesus is Lord. I'm going to be around a long time. I ain't kidding you. I ain't playing. Some of you young folks in here's hair is going to be getting like mine is right now, and I'm still going to be preaching. I'm serious. You have no idea. I don't have no grid for all the stuff we've bought into. We've studied fallen man and said, this is us. I've looked at Jesus and said, that's me. Don't talk to me about nothing else because I ain't got time for it. I won't argue with you. You're too late. You're too late, man. Don't say, yeah, but I'm not any younger. Yeah, but after an age of this. And who says? We buy in and don't even realize what we're doing. And because we buy in, then our body starts agreeing. And then we say, see? And we let our body tell us what we were believing is true. And all of a sudden, you get a product. You become a product of the grid you're on. Man, and I'm not condemning anybody that's going through things and what you'd call aging. We all seem to be aging. I mean, my hair's changing, but I'm not expecting anything to come with that that's apart from what he accomplished through his cross. People that don't even understand what I'm saying, they're quick to speak and slow to listen. Say, yeah, but you got to die of something. I'm thinking, well, for one thing, I'm never going to die. So death, and I know what they're saying. But I don't have to die of sickness. And I don't have to die of disease. And let's stop believing that. Well, something's got to take you out. I wonder if it's just running your course and you just go on to be with Jesus and call your family together and prophesy. And bless them and pass the mantle and say, hey, I'm coming home. I'll bet that's possible. Oh, yeah. I'm going to have that. I'm going to have that. I'm going for that, man. But it's a long time from now. I was just talking to my little 9-year-old granddaughter about how long I'm going to live. And she was talking about something when she gets older. And I said, well, just think about that. I said, in that year, I said, you're going to be such and such an age. You probably have a couple kids. And she said, she's 9. She's so precious. She says, do you think great-grandma will still be alive then? She'll be gone by then, won't she? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, you know, if you look at age and numbers, I said, most people would think so. She said, do you think Grammy will still be alive? I said, man, you're asking this question. She said, well, how about you? And I said, well, I can answer for me. Yeah, I'm going to be here. But I said, I hope they're all here. But I said, honey, I'm going to be here a long time. I told her that. I wasn't afraid to tell her that. Unless Jesus wraps this thing up, you're going to see me. I'm just telling you. Now, that's enough I'm going to say on that. About 40 years later, I'll bring it back up. So now I said it, but now about 40 years later, I'll bring it back up and remind folks, and they can tap into the archives and see that I said it right here in Klamath Falls. In about 10 or 15 more, I'll say, so what do you think? Are you guys okay? I don't even know. I might only lost one or two folks through all that. I wasn't paying attention. But actually, if anybody left, it's probably just because they had to. Because I'm preaching good. Yeah. No, I'm stirring you guys up, man. It's my heart for coming here. It's the only reason I get on an airplane. And you know, Pastor Jim was saying about the tickets and stuff. You don't need to know all this stuff, but listen, man, we don't have a business deal. It grieves me what we let happen in our own family called the body of Christ. This thing isn't about pennies. It's not about you do for me, I do for you. And not about, hey, it costs me a lot to come here. And you guys better make sure you reimburse me. You don't need to know this, but I'm just telling you, for 8 years, I bought my own plane tickets. I've never turned in a reimbursement. I come here for the kingdom, and I come here for you. I don't come here for an honorarium. I tell pastors, you don't even have to take an offering. It's not why I'm here. It doesn't mean I can't receive, and people do take offerings and all that. And I understand things take money, but Jesus is in charge of that. It's not about contracts and reimbursements to me, ever. It's never been. I go to little churches and could go to big churches. A lot of times I don't even go to the big churches because I feel like they already got something going. A lot of times I pick churches that are in a corner somewhere and I think, man, if God would just strike that thing, something could happen right in their town. Their church might look small, but they might be a majority once Christ starts birthing in them. And I go to little towns. You have no idea the churches I go to through the year. I had 400 plus invites last year just to America. That's ridiculous. I don't even know what's going on. You think about that. That's 8 straight years of preaching without missing a week. To cover them. And I could only go to about 45. And you just saw the ones that I ended up picking out of 400. I went to places where pastors say, listen, I understand there's a great demand on your life. And we understand you're very busy. But we need to let you know up front, we're a very small church, but we sure are hungry. And I pull that thing right out of a pile. A pastor will say, I've been pastoring. This is a real, I'm not making this up. I've been pastoring 18 years, but after listening, I realize there's things I haven't seen. I've only taught what I've been taught, and my heart feels like it's coming alive, and I'm excited for what God's about to do. Would you come help us and speak into this? Hey, I put him on the ball. People say, brother, you need to learn how to, you need to go where you have more impact. What's more impact? Was a huge giant conference more impact than 50 people in a town that are hungry and want transformation to get lit on fire? The 5,000 people could just even be doing the conference thing and want to just sit under my anointing. Hope I have an order call. Lay hands on people. That little 50, they don't even know what's coming. They just know their pastor invited some guy they ain't heard of. They don't have a clue what's coming. The first service, they're usually just in shock. Serious. Well, the first 15 minutes, they're in shock. They're like, you ought to see the faces. I try to figure out, Lord, is this deliverance going on? Or are people just, what's going on? Because I'll go to a church I've never been to and people don't even know and they'll ask. And I've been finding these churches out of my stack of 400. Holy Spirit's taking me to ones when they ask who's ever heard of me. 2/3 of the people in the room raise their hands and say they've never heard of me. I want to be in that church. The people that's heard and that's listened on YouTube, you already got the stuff. Apply it to your heart and become and run well. Of course we can add more and sow more and come and stir the pot and cheer on. That's why I'm here this weekend. But man, you walk in a place where you've never dug ground.
I like that.
As soon as I stick the shovel in the dirt, people are going. It's just funny. The second service, it's more of a, by the third service, there's a in the room. It's just, it's amazing. And there's tears and stuff. I was just in a church and this guy was being known as the one they were concerned about as a little family church because he was the Bible school. He knew every scripture. He could quote everything the preacher was saying. And yet he was frustrated, angry, bashing his wife, and it, not with his fist, with his words and his actions, and indignant towards people in the church and almost hard to get close to. But he'd come to church and he knew the word, and that's what qualified him because he knew the scriptures. On the third day, he came to church. We prayed for him the night before. And there was 6 people in the room where nothing changed in their physical body when we prayed. Only 6. Everybody else got healed. It was beautiful. But there was 6. Nothing changed. And I talked about that. And stop letting that stumble us and how to handle that. And you people that we prayed for, this is how you respond. And the ones that prayed, be sure you don't go here and here. And I might do that this weekend. But I got into that really strong with them in this church. And we prayed over them one more time and released everybody in faith. And the next morning, it was Sunday service. So there was 2 when we prayed the last time, 2 out of the 6 that got healed. So now we had 4 that weren't healed. In the moment that didn't have any change. So only 2 showed up at church in the morning. Well, the one was crippled by a car wreck for a year using this kind of walker, and she's really messed up. And I came in and she's standing by the pole and she says, well, hello, good morning. And I realized it was her. And she said, and stood on one leg. And then she goes, and she just starts like, about Jesus and how she's at home and she did everything that we were talking and she went late in bed and yay, and she could hardly walk, but yay, woke up, yay, got out of bed and went, whoa. It's so amazing. But this other guy, he's still hurting bad. Nothing's changed. But guess what's changing? His heart. Every time I'm preaching, he can't take no more. The first night, he was toasted. The second night, it was just too much. Now, we're going at it again. And he's sitting there, and he's going in his heart, God, you do love me. You are my healer. You are for me. I'm listening to this man you sent here, and God, it is changing my heart. And I just believe, and he started talking and communing with the Lord like never before, and maybe for the first time from that place of the heart. And guess what the Lord did? He went boop and instantly took everything that was in his body out of his body. He was so inflamed that you couldn't rub against him, he would have yelled. He was in so much pain. He was in so much pain, he couldn't lift a coffee cup. He was in so much pain. Now, I'm not talking a little cup. I'm talking a coffee cup I've seen some of you guys carry. I'm talking the Magnum double barrel coffee cup. He couldn't lift that thing because he was so in pain. And I'm trying to preach, and he's manifesting, crying and raising his hand. And I thought he was worshiping God and rejoicing in what I was saying, because I can tell when God's doing a work like that in somebody's heart, because it was phenomenal. And all of a sudden I realized, duh, he wants to talk. And it felt right, and I called on him. He bawls, the whole church falls apart, because they watched the man they were concerned about so much melt in the truth of God's love and then get healed on the third day. The stone rolled away. Isn't that awesome? It's just awesome. So what you do in your heart with what I'm saying is a big deal. Be a wise man of Matthew 7. Don't be the foolish man of Matthew 7 that's in all the right places here and all the right things and not doing with it what faith says. And then the storm comes and you've been equipped with the truth, but you haven't empowered yourself with the understanding and becoming. And then everything that you seem to be building on gets shaken and out from under you. Don't be that man. Man, these nights are to stir us up, to encourage us, to cheer us on. I just feel like a cheerleader most of the time. I'm like, come on, God sees us this way. We can live this way. I can be free. I don't have to let you determine my disposition. You can encourage me, but you sure can't slow me down. It's impossible. It's impossible for my own wife to do that. Because I don't need her. I love her. There's a difference.
Oh, I hope you got that, gentlemen. And ladies, don't use what I said as a power play. That would be sin. And if you already elbowed them, say you're sorry. Are you guys all right? I know you're asking me that, aren't you? See, Pastor, I think we need to flip that question. You've been saying all night, are you all right? And I've been asking you that. Are you all right? I'm getting there. You know why? Because I'm speaking with great boldness to you tonight. Because we can live this way. We can live this way. So we want to do a couple things. It's early, so I'm going to do it now so we can get it done. Because I feel like I do want us to pray for a bunch of folks tonight. It's just in my heart right now. Okay? So there's a couple things we need to do to pull that off and do it in a good, timely manner, not to limit God. He's not limited in anything I'm saying. He knows what I'm saying, so don't read into it. And it's not that I'm worrying about time. I just know me, and I know I have an anointing to eat time. Joshua stops the sun in faith. The sun stops in the sky, and somehow I set the thing before it rises. I'm like, where'd the time go? Was my intro that long? It's funny because I don't have an intro, but you know what I mean. Let's read this real quick in Colossians. I do it all the time with congregations in front of me. I'm just going to read. I'm not even going to preach this. It'll speak, okay? This is what I want you to take out of tonight and the things I just cried out. And I'm going to talk. We're going to do two things tonight. We're going to get two things in. So if you can stay, please stay. And if you can't, we understand.
And if you get to a place where time and your circumstances, your schedule, children, family, whatever, responsibilities, work, tells you you have to leave because of the clock, it's not an unspiritual thing and you have to leave, but you wanted prayer tonight or needed prayer in a way of healing or redemption or restoration in your life or body, make sure you wave at me 5 minutes before you have to leave, and I will make sure that that gets addressed, and I will get someone to you that loves Jesus and get that thing prayed for. Will you do that? Don't sneak out of here without being prayed for tonight. I feel like it's important. We're going to pray for a bunch of folks. I feel that in my heart. It's good. And I'm not lining you all up. We're going to pray for one another. It's going to be good. It's just going to be fun. Okay, are you in Colossians 3? That's where I want to be. It's really good. I mean, I look back and I get tempted to back up to 2 and 1. And I'm not kidding. I know that's a pastoral joke sometimes when people preach. But I color code my Bible. And all my colors have great meaning. I don't do it just to make it pretty. But it does make my Bible pretty. But every one of these colors has meaning. This is Colossians, man. Look at that. Now watch this. Whoa. It's just so you can read it all and be like, yeah, serious, man. All those colors have meaning. You know, honestly, and I'm not being silly right now, you stay at Colossians 3, but I'm going to bring you to speed to that. Colossians 1 talks about you being delivered from the power of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of His Son of His love, that it's in Him who we have redemption. That's the restoration back to original value, the restoration of all things brought back to original value. Redemption, all things restored. It's an amazing word. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. What empowers the restoration of all things? The fact that we're forgiven. Do you get it? Do you see how important it is for you to receive that forgiveness in sincerity, in humility? To receive. Do you know how many people I know struggle with being forgiven by God? That's why they struggle with forgiving others. Because they've never received the beauty of forgiveness. Once the beauty of forgiveness touches your heart, it's a given to forgive. I've counseled people in this and pastored people in quiet places, closed doors, back behind the scenes. They're just with anger and it's because they don't see how God sees them and they've never received the beauty of His love. And they become angry and frustrated and they live by rights. And he said, she said. Well, how would you feel though? They shouldn't have did that to me. Well, that's easy for you to say. You weren't in my shoes. And all of a sudden you justify being less than Him. With natural language. What about being in Jesus' shoes? I wonder if He's ever been in it through anything remotely like you're talking about. Wonder if He's ever experienced injustice and unfairness. I wonder if He ever did good and people called it bad. I wonder if they'd have wrote a lot about Him on Facebook. I wonder if He'd have got insecure and let that change Him. Of course not. Because He's love. You say, well, that's because He's the Lord. It's because He's love. And He made you and me in His image. If we make this one shift, guys, in our hearts that, and I'm not saying none of you have, I'm just saying as a whole, if we make this one shift, I'm just talking corporately, that we purpose to keep growing in our relationship with God in prayer, that when we wake up every day, we make sure we learn to align our heart until it becomes the truth of our motive. You align your heart. I don't care if you have to tape it on a mirror in the bathroom. I am alive for Your image today. And I'm alive to love. It's not what men can do for me today. It's how I can lay down my life for others. You put something like that in front of you and get yourself truly given to that. Your days of being hurt, discouraged, insecure, hurt, frustrated, jealous, all that stuff, angry, are over. Because the motive you're living by disbands all those things. It takes them all away. And it's not because you're trying not to be hurt. You don't even have a grid for hurt. Because you didn't wake up for what someone can do for you. You woke up for love. Who knows who Smith Wigglesworth was? And is in our history and memory.
I read a little book that was written of a testimony of Smith Wigglesworth, and it was taken right out of something he shared and preached, and it was put in a little book form, and used to hand it out a whole lot. And I think the little booklet was called Love and Forgiveness. Love and Forgiveness. And in the book, he said, in his early days, before we read all about Smith Wigglesworth, in his early days, he was a backslidden plumber who was into making money and wasn't interested in God. And that's what he shares. And he says, however, my wife was in love with Jesus. And he says, now, when you have two people in a home and one's in love with the Lord and the other one's not, that causes problems. He said, because the one that's not is so aggravated, challenged, and confronted by the one that is, that it just creates problems in the one that's backslidden. And if the one that's in love with Jesus doesn't walk in wisdom and grow in maturity, then they can actually start fueling a fire and become a problem too, even though they love Jesus. And I hope you understand what I meant by that, where you begin to preach at your spouse or tell them what they need to be, or instead of just love them and realize there's something for them to see. Because this is Smith's testimony. He said, one night my wife came to me and said, honey, I'm going to go to church. And he said, I'm done with you going to church. He said, you're not going to church tonight. He said, I know enough about the Bible to know it says the husband is the head of the wife. He went there. You know what the word head means if you study it out? The protector, not the ruler. Whew, man, I could cry on this stuff. I could go intercede. You say, well, the wife's supposed to submit to the husband. The word means yield and adapt yourself to, not serve and become a slave. God's a covenant God, not a controlling God. We've hurt one another and we've brought the worst out in one another. If we can't handle how we interpret things, then it puts something wrong in your heart. And all of a sudden, wives can resist the very scriptures because they're hit with them from the wrong way. And men can misappropriate them because they're interpreting the wrong way. That's what he did that night because he was backslidden. And he said, I know enough about the Bible. No, it says the husband's ahead of the wife. And I say you're not going to church, so you're not going to church. And he said she smiled kindly and spoke softly. Hello, ladies. Who knows he's wrong? Who knows he's out of order? The last thing you need to do is say, well, listen, you ain't controlling me. Jesus loves me and I'm going to church and he told me not to forsake the gathering of the brethren. You can stay here in your old backslidden state if you want, but you ain't telling me what to do. That is not the will of God. That is not Holy Spirit. That's you frustrated and offended. Oh man, this is getting good. Y'all all right?
Yeah.
She smiled sweetly and she said, yes, Smith, dear, you are my husband. And you know I purpose in every way to honor you and do what's necessary for you with your food and your clothes. But Smith, dear, I must tell you, you're not my Lord. And Jesus says to go to church. So in all respect, Smith, I'm going to church. He said, I'm telling you, woman, if you go to church, I'm locking you out of this house. He said, don't you dare go to church. She said, do what you must, Smith. But Jesus is Lord. Love you. She went to church, not in spite. He said he was so mad. He said he fumed, he cussed, he fussed. And he said, as soon as she walked out the door, he locked it. She comes home from church. Picture this. She can't get in her own house. Well, that's a problem with us Christians. And some of you girlfriends, be careful, because you're in that position and you call your girlfriend. I don't know what to do. He did what? Come on. Oh, I'm having fun with you, but I'm not. He did what? Well, who does he think he is? Look, enough is enough. And it's about time you, and he's, and ah, and rah. Well, that's as much your house as this is. Let's just call the cops and pound on that door and get him to open that door. You need to deal with this. You can't keep putting up with this. Da 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 da.
Is he wrong? You better believe it. But her letting his wrong make her wrong is tragedy. You don't repay evil for evil. And you don't have a need to just stand for your common rights. You denied yourself, remember? Guess what this woman did? Oh, I love this stuff. It's testimonies to us. They're living epistles. They're people that have walked it out in the face of real. He said in the morning he came down. No wife, door's locked. He goes into the kitchen. He goes to the back door. He opens the door. You know how people have a door and then a screen door? And he opens the door to look outside to just see what kind of day it was, the weather. And when he opened the door, she rolled into the kitchen floor because she was curled up between the two doors sleeping. She rolled in on the floor, sprung to her feet, smiled and said, "Good morning, Smith, dear. What would you like for breakfast?" Wow. Yes. That is not normal church right there. Now you be real with me. Are we even thinking to growing into that? Or do we have a lot of rights? And do we have a lot of pains and hurts and failures? And I can't believe they did that to you. And a lot of friends that actually feed the lie if we're not careful. Come on, you let me talk to you plain. I don't know about you, but I'll bet you Jesus would have rolled into that door and did the same thing. And guess what Smith said he did in the testimony? He said, "That woman went with a smile on her face and made me my favorite breakfast like I was a king." And he said, "I couldn't take no more. I cried out and said, 'Stop it. Enough. Enough. I'm wrong. I've been very wrong.'"
Wow.
And he said, "I made peace with her and I made peace with God." He said, "Why?" "Because she loved me back to him." She didn't preach him back to him. She loved him back to him when he was as wrong can be. Now I'm asking you, is that the Christianity you signed up for? Is that the Christianity you're willing to pursue? Because I promise you, that's where Jesus is, that's where power is, that's where grace is, that's where Holy Spirit is. Look, you can get hurt if you want, that's your privilege. You can stand for your rights. You can get a lawyer. You can call a friend and get advice. That's all your privilege. But can you see your actions in the life of Jesus? And if not, they ought to be challenged by someone. You following me? Let's not lose sight that this thing's all about you and me becoming love. It's not about you and me prophesying and getting a word of knowledge. It's about you and me becoming love. And actually, if you read the Bible, it's only healthy to prophesy and give words of knowledge when you become love. Because faith works through love and everything flows through love, and it's the healthy wellspring of God. He told you to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Don't desire spiritual gifts apart from pursuing love. Or spiritual gifts will become your identity instead of love. And you'll need to be used of God to appear to be godly. I got to read the scripture and it's not where I wanted to go. Do you see how I eat time? I'm trying to read Colossians 3, but I'm probably wrong. No, that's probably not what God wants me to do right now. You read Colossians 3 when you get a chance. And it will be there and it will be awesome. I do know one thing about Colossians 3. There's a paragraph of green. And you know what green means in my Bible? The love of God. Oh. And it says, "Put on tender mercies, beloved. Kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint," anyone has a complaint against another, "even as Christ forgave you, you also forgive. And above all these things, beloved, put on love. It is the bond of perfection." You might want to read the whole chapter to get the whole gist, but that's a green paragraph, man. Matthew. Oh, let me see if I can find this.
It's right here. Yeah, Matthew, let's go to 24. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, Matthew 24, let me jump in. I can do this. I'm just seeing if it's okay to jump in at this verse, but I think it is. Let's look at verse 9. We can start there. I was going to start in 10, but I will back up one. 24:9, Matthew. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, you don't live to make people hate you. Some Christians think that's what you do. And then say, see, I'm being persecuted. And then many will be offended. And when they become offended, guess what they'll do? They'll betray one another and hate one another. Why? Because they're offended. Now watch. And many false prophets will rise up. Isn't it amazing the timing that the voices will rise up when the offense is there? This is intense. Now watch this. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because... Now watch. This is the reason. He's giving us a heeding, a warning. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. What's he saying? We're letting the things that people do define who we are in that day. And we're letting the lawlessness of men decide who I am and who I'm going to be towards them. Come on. He said, there's a day coming where men are going to be offended and they're going to betray one another and hate one another. And lawlessness is going to abound. And because lawlessness abounds, the love of many, some translations say most, will grow cold. Isn't that a tragic perversion when the whole purpose and goal of the gospel is love? Lawlessness comes so that in rationale you let sin against you justify sin in you. And you fail to suffer for doing good like Jesus did. It's 1 Peter 2. It's there. Now watch. But he who endures till the end shall be what? I'm not even about to imply to you that he's talking heaven or hell there. The word saved is sozo. It means healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, and kept safe and sound. When you're offended, you're not safe and sound. You're a wreck. When lawlessness is abounding all around you and you keep your love strong and you keep covering with love and you keep living like Jesus, that's the salvation of the Lord. That's awesome. And look what he says after that. And we just pick out these little one-liners and miss what he's saying. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Is he talking about a separate event here and somebody with a bullhorn? Or is he talking about the manifestation of love in the face of lawlessness and the gospel having a voice through love manifested through people? What did Pastor Jim say when he kicked this thing off? How does God reveal his love? Through us. How does God reveal himself? Through us. And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the world as a witness. Not a sermon.
That's good.
Are you guys on this thing here?
So our lives will get challenged, and Satan himself will draw strategies to throw this and challenge this, and I don't believe you're surrendered, and I don't believe you get what you're singing, and I don't think you're really following Jesus. Let it hit close enough to home, and I'll find your soft, vulnerable point. And all of a sudden, he's poking and prodding, and all he's finding is strength in who we are in Christ. And all of a sudden, lawlessness is abounding, and our love is strong. And this gospel of the kingdom is being preached through our lives, standing in the midst of it all as a witness to the nations that there's not another way, there's the way. You get it?
Yeah.
He's not talking about a sermon. He's talking about a life transformed and lived. Yeah? Oh, I'm so pumped. Now I'm done. Honestly, I'm not saying this for applause or praise. Did you get anything out of that last hour or whatever? Did you? Listen, stay encouraged. Keep your heart in this thing. And don't... Man, I said this to a young man last night because it came on my heart for him personally. But I'm saying this as a corporate whole tonight. Don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap a reward if you don't lose heart. And I honestly believe the reward isn't just a bunch of things we cash in on someday. The reward is being like him and knowing him in the midst of it all. The reward is having peace when everyone's in duress. The reward is walking in love when everybody's a wreck. The reward is having all these things that he is in the midst of the world, being in it and not of it. That's a reward. So here's what we want to do. I want to pray for two things tonight. I do this a lot. I'm going to do it tonight. I laid on the bed this morning and I said, Lord, I was like a little kid this morning. I said, Lord, can we pray for redemption this weekend? Can we pray for people and do what you've shown me about redemption? And he was like, well, yeah. I was like, awesome. And I usually don't ask him. I usually just go ahead and do it because I have a yes unless I hear no. But I was communing and just, because a lot of us are looking for a yes, and it's a yes and amen gospel. It's like, should I go pray for them? Yes is probably your answer. If you ask him, you might talk yourself out of it and think in your own feelings and apprehension and self-consciousness, this could be your no. Sometimes we're striving in prayer to hear a yes and you already got it. Should I love them, Lord? Yeah, probably. You think I should forgive them? Okay, there's a... Let's do this. Go to Romans 5 quick. I'll do this as quickly as I can without rushing. Yeah, I know it's a joke. I get it. It's a joke. I know. But it's my intent. I mean, it's the best I know. I was telling these guys about a Catholic mass. I was invited into a funeral mass, and the priest said, now listen, sir, you have 5 minutes. And I was so full of faith, you know, Pastor, I was so full of faith. I said, thank you. And you know what I did? I did it in four. And I gave him back a minute. And I was like, I was almost strutting off of there, man. I was like, I did it in four, Lord. Thanks. They were so impacted in 4 minutes, it was ridiculous. I got mobbed at the end with tears. People said, what was happening in our hearts when you were speaking? That's what they said. It was Catholic. All they ever did was Mass. And I got invited in to give understanding and explain in the midst of a funeral. And he left me preach right after communion. So for 4 minutes, I went, and sat down. And the priest gave me a nod and a thumbs up. It was awesome. And it wasn't that terrible long ago, I got invited into a Catholic church to preach why God sent his son right after the Mass. And the priest asked his congregation to stay. I've invited a man to come and give a discourse on the cross. I heard him the other night. It brought tears to my eyes. I never heard anything so beautiful. You will get something out of this. Please stay. And everyone stayed. So I stood in the Catholic church right after Mass and shared the gospel of why God sent his son. That was so fun.
So let's not stereotype people groups and stuff. Let's just know God loves people and He's doing a beautiful thing. Make sure you're right in the mix. Don't judge people. Don't say, well, they're this, well, they're that. No, they're called to be like Him and He loves them. And they might not know who they are, but you can.
Yeah.
Romans 5, real quick. Verse 6, when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man some would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Remember last night what I preached? Crucified Christ says it all. Your answer's right there. Don't look anywhere else. It's not anywhere else. Your value, your identity, your purpose, it's all found through Christ crucified. Yeah. Much more. Uh-oh, we got increase now. Much more than having been justified by His blood. Justified. You all heard this. I know Pastor Jim Sharp. I spend time with him. You got a lot of wisdom, my friend. I'm not saying that to stroke you. I love you. You got a lot of wisdom. And I know you guys understand this, that justified literally means just as if you've never sinned. So through the blood, I've been positioned just as if I've never sinned. So that ought to make it easy to reckon yourself dead to it and get on with new life. Yeah? Not try to make up for lost time. Let Him be the Redeemer of time and just go after Him. Never look back. Look up and run. It's a sprint marathon. To the end. Don't pace yourself. Run. Serious. I ain't playing. Justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Whoo! For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Here's some elevation. Much more. Having been reconciled, we shall be sozoed, saved by His life. There's something about because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
There's something about it.
If we were reconciled while yet enemies through His death, how much more? Shall we be saved, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, and kept safe and sound because He lives?
Yeah.
Now I want to talk about it just for a second. Y'all getting the beauty of that? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. New. Old things have. Behold. That's the power of God. Behold. All things. Who did that? God did that. Behold, all things are new. If any man, what man? Be in Christ, he's a old things, all things. He made a public spectacle of the powers and principalities that operated through the law when He tacked it to the cross. You understand that? While we were enemies, He reconciled us through His death. How much more He'll save us through His life. People repent because the kingdom of God's here and get saved. Is that true? Is there salvation apart from repentance? Man repents. Don't ever miss that. Is there salvation apart from repentance? You can't just get caught up in that stuff that's out there. Well, everybody's forgiven. Everybody's a son. Everybody's His. They just don't know it. I know what they're trying to say, but you better be very careful what you're saying. No, the Bible says any friend of the world is an enemy to God. If you love the things of the world, the love of the Father is not even in you. And the things of the world are the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And people living in those things don't know Him and haven't been changed by Him. Come on. That's not legalistic. It's true.
It's transforming. You preach grace without transformation, you preach perversion.
Yes, amen.
Grace doesn't empower you to stay the same. Grace changes you for His name. Grace isn't mercy. Grace is God's empowerment. Mercy gives you a chance when you deserve none. Grace makes you like Him after that. Do you get it? Yeah. Isn't the gospel awesome, dude? You know why I act this way, man. It's not my fault either. So here's what I've seen, and the Lord did this years ago. I mean, most of you that have ever heard me preach on this, and some of you though haven't, and there's God said I could do this tonight, so it's gonna have to fit somewhere. Somebody's gonna step into this description and get touched tonight. Here's what I've learned. I've learned that we tend to get deceived by levels of guilt, condemnation, and shame. And we tend to think that taking great responsibility in our own emotions and minds for where we've been, even though we've cried sorrowfully over it. Be honest, who in this room has cried sorrowfully over something you've done years ago, but still felt bad for it? And still felt like it was who you were in some way? Be honest, be real honest, and let me see how many people that's happened to in this room. See, that's majority. Now, I didn't set you up or trap you, but listen, don't ever let that happen again. It's a lie. Because the fact that you sorrowed means it's not you anymore. That's what vindicates you. It's repentance that brings the salvation. So why would you sorrow over something you're sorry for and that you're not anymore in your intention, your heart, or your actions? So what becomes the focus isn't where you've been. The focus now becomes where He's been. And all of a sudden you make the shift and you become a product of His finished work, not your work. But I've learned this in the church, that we think it's humble and we think it's right, and we carry this sense of responsibility for things we've done and where we've been. And here's the biggest one. We talked about it today. And some pastors are very afraid to preach what I'm preaching because of how it gets so misinterpreted and how people hear what they want to hear. Like, well, God loves me. God knows my heart. Nobody's perfect. Hey, we all have our... I don't preach that. If you're doing that, be very careful and be sure to change that. Because what's important is, as soon as you get a conviction and a violation of conscience, what's important is that you apply that to your own heart and to a place of godly sorrow and repentance, to where you're realizing this is not who I am and called to be. It's not acceptable. But yet I can't change it in my own strength, but He'll change it, and I'm just separating myself from it and declaring, this is not who I am. You follow me? Because if you just sweep the thing under the rug, you're going to dull your conscience. And you're going to make the gospel something it's not. And deep down in you have this violation, and it'll gray you out and keep you from intimacy. I'm just talking plain. I hope you guys are following me. But here's what I've learned in the church, that there's folks that are sincere, that are repentant, that have cried over their sins. And if they could go back and change where they've been, they would. But they can't. Bummer. That's what we think. But it's not bummer. The person you're remembering isn't you anymore. The person you're remembering is what was. The person that's grieving is what's become. The person that has godly sorrow is the new person. The person that says, God, I wish I had never been there, makes you the person that never was. The blood comes into play and washes you of everything you've ever done, and there's a vindication and a clearing of yourself in 2 Corinthians 7. And all of a sudden, it should never even be mentioned, thought of, or spoken of again. It's done. And all of a sudden, with joy and zeal and great inspiration by the love of God, you go forward and run well. Never looking back. Becoming wiser, sharper, and smarter because of His love. You get it? But what He showed me years ago, and I started to preach it as a separate form of ministry and an altar call, is that some of us get saved and get born again,
And when we get born again, we bring into our new creation and our born again life the marks or residue or evidence of where we've been. And it tries to track along with something that's new. You get deceived and you get promiscuous and you're trying to find value through promiscuity. Whether it's a man or a woman. And all of a sudden you have something in your blood that you weren't created to have in your blood. You know how much that happens in this earth? And all of a sudden you come to Christ and you see your value. And all of a sudden deep in your heart you think, man, I wish I didn't sleep around like I slept around for 2 years. I was searching. I was empty. It wasn't the answer. God, if I saw what I see now, I wouldn't have been with who I was then. And that's so sincere and that's so real, and you've wept over it. And God will vindicate you and make you the person that was never there. For some reason, sometimes, I don't know always the reason, sometimes I think there's levels of guilt, condemnation, and shame that permit it. Sometimes I think it's lack of understanding. Sometimes I think we just think, well, I deserved that, should have known better. No, you know better now. And here's what I'm saying. I have a hard time with us as a church just being okay with somebody getting born again and bringing an STD into their born again experience from their past sin life. I have a real hard time with somebody getting born again and bringing hepatitis from their sin life into their new life. I have a real hard time for young ladies that went through seasons of darkness and cut themselves, and now they get born again and bring in all those scars and all those memories into their new life. And I've preached this for a while now, and I've seen a lot of fun and powerful things. The blood of Jesus forgives man of the act of sin. The body of Jesus releases men from the penalty of that sin. And what the blood forgives, the body removes. He took away your sin. And by His stripes, we are healed. So if you'll never stand before God and be judged for where you've been, why is it still judging you? If you're a new creation, then let's pray for new. If old things have passed away, then let's let them go. And if all things are new, then let's call them new. You follow me? It's called redemption. It's called brought back to original value as if you've never eaten the tree. There's young ladies I've met with, what is it, HVP or HPV? HPV. Thought I had it right the second time. Didn't sound right, HVP. HPV. It's a herpes. It's a form of herpes. In most strains, I think it's incurable, and it gets into the nervous system, and in time, it hurts people's organs, and it's not good. And I've watched that thing bow to the finished work of Jesus. A lot. Why? Because the people that were carrying it wish they weren't where they were, wish they didn't do what they did. You say, oh, well, they're just saying that now because they got burnt and they got bit by that thing. So fine. Why is that a problem? A hard lesson, a painful lesson, but a lesson nonetheless. If it changed who you were, the shock reality, then be changed. But let's get rid of that mark. You follow me tonight? It's not cool for people to get saved and then die of hepatitis early. When the hepatitis came from their BC days. It's not cool. And I wish we as an army would rise up and voice that and go after that and chop that stuff up by praying for one another. It's not cool for a teenager to make one mistake and make it bad and get burnt by it. And now they're afraid to even have a relationship or get married because they don't want to introduce that person into their mess. But yet they're sincere and love God and wish they never went where they went. That is not the kingdom of God. It's not the kingdom of God for the lady that God sent to our church from upstate. And she had children, and social services took them, and she was a heroin addict and a prostitute her whole life. Social services took her kids. She cried out in despair one night to God, and God said, "Drive to York, Pennsylvania. I'm so glad he knows where we are." You know, he did that to my buddy Todd. 586 churches. I'm not saying anything bad about the other churches. I'm just glad he knows where we are, and he picked us out of that whole lot. He said, "Go to that church and walk in the door." And he walked through the door, and I was coming down the hall. I'm glad he brought him to our church. Because I ain't going to tell him, "Well, you need to knock it off and straighten up. You're going to go to hell." I remember cutting Todd off so many times when he was trying to tell me all his bad stuff. Our first meeting, our first encounter, he's trying to tell me all the bad and ugly because there was no good. And I kept cutting him off and sharing and interjecting. And he said, "Dude," because I never said "dude" before I met Todd. It's the impartation of his life into mine. "Dude." He said, "Dude." He a little frustrated. "Dude, you're not even listening to what I'm saying, man. Dude, you keep cutting me off. You're not listening to where I've been and what I've done." I said, "Dude." I did. I said, "Dude, you're not listening to where he's been and what he's done. And here's the problem. You think where you've been and what you've done is who you are. But the truth is where he's been and what he's done is who you are. So listen up." And he went, "Okay, man. Okay." And I think it all worked out well where he's concerned. God told this lady, "Go to York." She ended up in our church. She got the gospel. She sure did. She got free from heroin. She got free from prostitution. God moved so strong on her behalf that for the first time in her home state's history, the social service released children to a mother out of state. If you know anything about the politics of all that, it's unheard of. But God has the heart of the king in his hand. And anyone in authority, he'll turn it wherever he wish when he knows the heart of the person. I saw a judge say to a young man, "It's against my better judgment, but I'm releasing you into this program." That is not the way to get reelected. It's against a judge. It's against my better judgment. What was happening? He doesn't even know. God knew the heart and situation of the young man, and he took the heart of the king and turned it, and he said what he couldn't even explain.
Wow.
So we're not trying to catch a break. We're not trying to find favor. Our motives and hearts are changed, and God knows it, and we know it. And that's when he moves things out of the way.
Thank you.
So she comes and gets her kids back. Woohoo! You think we're celebrating? You think we're giving high praise? You think it's an awesome testimony? But we've got a problem. Her liver's swelling, and she's dying because of her lifestyle. And hepatitis is killing a lady that's finally ready to be a woman of God and a mama. And I'm telling you, that is not reaping what she sowed. Because once you repent, you reap what he sowed. And it's called the kingdom of the living God. Don't you get religious with me and say, "Well, brother, but she shouldn't have, and she should have, and she brought this upon herself." No, no, no. God's bringing the kingdom upon her because she's repented and salvation has come to her house. So I preach this way. I preach this way a lot. She gets in her car and I'm preaching this way, and I never pushed her. She was walking through her own personal condemnations and things. And so she would sit at healing service and just listen to me preach because she said it was helping her. And she was finding resolve with God in her own heart. It was something important for her. And one day she's in the back and I'm preaching on redemption loud and clear. And I'm looking at her, and she knows I'm bringing her into it without anybody realizing. She has to go to an appointment. They're putting her on the liver transplant list, and they're concerned about her liver, that if we don't find you something, you could die. Her kids are wee little. She's not a heroin addict. She's not a prostitute. She's born again. Hepatitis shouldn't be there.
Right.
Old things pass away. Behold, all things. Well, brother, no, you're wrong.
Yes.
Wow. She got in her car. You know what revelation is? She got in her car. And she started it up, and she said, she admits that she was a little frustrated about having to go back to the doctor appointment because all they did was tell her how worse her liver got since yesterday and how soon it's going to be till it isn't working. I mean, it was a bad deal because they can't help her. She starts her car, and she's ready to pull out and go to her appointment. She says, wait a minute, loud in her car. She said she went on a tangent. She said, wait a minute, this is ridiculous. I can't have hepatitis. I'm a woman of God. I am not a prostitute. I am not a heroin addict. I'm a woman of God. I cannot have this. I'm done with this. God, you love me. And she's kind of like her, and she's driving. This stuff, you can't make this up or you're a sicko. She gets to her appointment. They run her numbers and her blood. And they go, ah. Enzymes functioning, liver counts, numbers, blood.
So good.
We think your hepatitis is in remission. They do further tests. They come back to her and they say, we are very perplexed. This is the first time I had had this testimony. I've had it many times since. Medical science said, we don't understand your case. You don't only not show the markers for a depreciated liver and a failed liver and hepatitis. You don't even have markers or evidence of ever having hepatitis. Now watch. Now watch. It was so confusing to them. Guess what they did? I don't know about this stuff. I just know she told me this. I mean, I don't know that this is strange or odd. It sounds strange to me. They were so confused that they took her records of being a hepatitis patient out of the medical files because there's no markers or evidence and it makes no medical sense. So all it does is cause confusion. So they took out her records. Which means, literally, if she wanted to, she'd have to get around the question and wouldn't be able to lie. But she could literally go donate blood or do something like that because she's clean. Did you get it? Now watch this. She didn't earn that. She don't deserve that. But Jesus paid for it and said, have it. And humility receives, doesn't resist. Pride resists.
Wow.
Humility says, thank you.
Yes.
Pride says, well, you know, but I knew better. Well, I shouldn't know. Well, I probably... Stop! Do you want to go back there? Most of the time, people... No. Would you do it again? It's not in my heart. Well, then rise up and be separated from that thing. Sanctified and set apart. Most people come to you with tears because of what they've done. And it means it's not who they are anymore. So let that thing die. I could tell you so many stories of redemption. I was just in a Mennonite church and a young man came up and he was mutilated under his clothes in the private places of his life. And his wife knew it well. He was in a season of darkness and he butchered himself. He called it mutilation. She called it mutilation. And he's coming forward and he had a horrible, horrendous childhood and a horrible stuff. And most people say, well, it's because of this and this and this. Nope, it's because of lack of understanding of the truth. Yeah. Yeah. You can say all you want. I'm not here to fight with you. Truth makes you free.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. He's coming up. And I'm talking to everybody and they're all coming up for prayer. And I got 15 people rolling out of the aisles. And I zero in on this young man. And I don't always do that, but I did. And I said, young man, I know I don't know you, but this is what I see. And I began to speak out the turmoil that he had to pass through in his life and the way he felt and the way it made him seem and feel. And he's just staring and people are crying because they know him and they care for him and they're concerned for him. And they feel sorry about his upbringing and stuff he's been through. Nobody knows he's mutilated but his wife and him. And I said, and some things, bam, bam, bam. And as I'm speaking life into him, I believe it was in that moment, God the Holy Spirit came and took every trace of mutilation off his flesh. As if he never touched himself with a razor or a blade. He didn't know it till he got home. And when he got home, he went, ah! And when he showed his wife, she went, ah! And they came to church in the morning and it was hard for them to function because of the face-to-face reality of God's goodness and power. And they were shaking and trying to talk about it. And it was hard for them to even communicate because what was wasn't anymore. I could tell you a lot of stories. I saw a purple railroad track from hundreds of razor blade slices. You know what I mean? Disappear in front of me. I saw gashes down thighs evaporate. I've seen Jesus give new life because we're born again as if we never lived before. Not by the will of man, not by the will of flesh, by the will of God through the Spirit. You follow me? Here's what I'm saying. Oh my goodness, it's 9. let's just forget it. We can go home. Tonight I want you to be humble. If you ever heard me preach this before and I ever prayed for you before about something like this and it didn't change, that's all the more reason I want you to get up here because I don't like that at all. When a rock seems hard and you're trying to break it, what should you do? Come up with an analogy or theology, or should you hit it again? And hit it again. And hit it again. The last thing we need to do is debate for 3 years why it's not breaking. Just keep telling it to break. But here's what I need you to do, and it's not about me praying for you. I don't always actually do that personally. A lot of times it depends on how things are going and the response and where I'm at in the moment, but I've seen this. I've seen people just by getting out their chair and walking, they were healed before they got to the front. The thing left them. I knew it. And they'd check. And I get emails of these redemption calls and how people got their blood tested and it's not there anymore. Last year, well, it was the year before. I didn't even try to keep track last year because it's not important to me, numbers and stats. But the year before, I was kind of keeping track and I lost track of hepatitis being healed. There was that many testimonies. I got testimonies from young ladies. I was watching you on YouTube preaching on repentance. My heart was so broken because I so understand now and wish I didn't do that then. Problem is, I was carrying this in my blood, and while you were preaching, I realized you're talking to me, and I realized God loves me. And I knelt on the carpet and cried and said, God, if I knew what I knew now, I wouldn't have been where I was then. And heat poured over my body. I've been tested and tested. It's not there. Thank you, Pastor Dan, for your boldness of speech. Da, da, da. I got those testimonies a lot of times.
Oh, I like it.
It's not because I'm anointed. It's the truth that makes us free. I understand I'm anointed and so are you. It's not because I'm anointed. It's the finished work of Jesus speaking better things than the blood of Abel.
That blood of Jesus speaking mercy, life, redemption. Yeah? Where are thine accusers, woman? There are none, Lord. I accuse you neither. Go and sin no more. What's he saying? Was that legalistic? He's saying, go and live beyond where you've been. You're more than that. Go.
Yeah.
They're going to stone her. He's so amazing. He says, who of you haven't sinned? Throw the first stone. And from oldest to youngest, there's significance there. From oldest to youngest, they dropped their stones and walked away. He didn't just disqualify them. He qualified himself. He was totally righteous according to the law. He could have picked up a stone and killed her and been justified in the sight of God. Who of you haven't sinned? Throw the first stone. Who's standing there that hasn't sinned? Did he throw a stone? No, he taught us righteousness. And he separated her from the very place she just was. And gave her a possibility of power to be changed. Where are thine accusers? There are none, Lord. Really important. I accuse you neither. Go and sin no more. He didn't go, what do you mean there are none? You should live like me. I've never done what you did. Bam. Wow. Mercy triumphs over judgment, and the goodness of God leads men to change. I need you to do this quick because I'm really eating time. If you're sitting in this room, up or down, or anywhere around, and you've got anything in your body that's less than wholeness that got there, I'm not just talking about healing tonight, I'm talking about redemption because we're going to pray for the sick in a minute. So don't just come up here for healing right now. This is important that you do this. There's grace on messages and there's faith in the room on the truth that's being preached. Do you understand that? When you get out of your chair and come up here, it's not about people wondering what you have. It's none of our business. I don't care. I just care that it goes. It's not about what you did to earn it. It's about God taking it away. When you get out of your chair and come up here, here's what you're saying. That thing I'm coming up for is not who I am. And it's not staying in me because you love me and you forgive me of everything. And if I could go back and do it over, I sure would. Now that's an important component in what I'm preaching. It's not have your cake and eat it too. It's not, oh, well, I'll go mess around and if I get snagged and God will love me and forgive me. Well, I'm not preaching that. I'm preaching, man, you have said, I wished I never went there. I wished I didn't do that. But you did, and you can't change it, but you can change. And once you change, you'll never stand before God and answer for where you've been. You'll answer for what you've become. So I need you to get up here quickly. If you're in the room and you have anything going on in your body because of yesterday's mistake, please come up here now. Don't sit in your chair. There's people here. I wouldn't take this long to preach it. You'd be amazed how many people are here. There's 20. So please come. That's not a prophetic number. I just know there's at least 20. Please come. Don't make me plead for 20. Just come. I was in a church not long ago and there was 17. And I said, there's 17 and I'm not praying for anybody till I get you all. And it took me a while, but people would start to cry and stand up. What they were doing is, I was asking them, why did it take you so long? They were afraid of what their friend was going to think or what their parent was going to think or what their child was going to think. Listen, every one of us has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us have missed the mark. Do you know there's some people in here that made mistakes and didn't get bit by the thing? There's some people that made one mistake and got bit by that thing. I met a lady like that one night in a service. She had never slept with anybody but her husband and was married 30 years. The only man she ever knew in her life was that man. And when she was around 50, he left her for a younger lady and it threw her into insecurity and turmoil. And a man came along and showed interest in her and told her the things she wasn't believing. The things she needed to hear. And before she knew it, she's in bed with that fella. And in the act of being there, she's like, what am I doing? Oh my God. She was horrified. She said she didn't even know what to do. As soon as things seemed to be over, she grabbed her things and ran out of there. Now we got a problem. She slept with one man in her whole life outside of her husband through a moment of vulnerability and weakness. Just turmoil, confusion. I'm not saying she did right. There was a way she wouldn't have had to be that way. There's a way she could have pressed into God. But man, she made a big mistake, and mercy came and rescued her. She got diagnosed with an incurable STD. Made one mistake sexually her whole life. Who knows, one's too many. And that thing came to try to tell her so. When she asked me to pray for her, she felt a need to tell me her story. And her way she started, she said, I'm not that kind of girl. And she started to cry and cry. She told me the whole story. I said, listen to me, that's coming out of you. There ain't nothing nobody can do about it. It's too late. It's going. And I said, get out of her. I saw her 6 weeks later. She came running to me and said, guess what, Pastor? I said, what? She said, I've been tested and tested, and it's not there. It's all gone. And I said, that's awesome, honey. Do you know why it's gone? She said, yes, because God is merciful. He's loving. He's kind. I said, yes, he is. And that's the right answer, but it's not the one I was asking for. Let me tell you why it's not in your blood anymore. I took her little chin, looked in her eyes, and I said, because you're not that kind of girl. You get it? Mercy triumphs over judgment. Should she have made better decisions? Yeah. Do you think she doesn't know that now? Did she mess up? Yeah. She was aware of that in the act. But it was too late. That thing already grabbed her. One mistake and that thing grabbed her. Listen, guys, I'm going to ask you one quick question. If you could go back and change the thing you did, the place you've been that wasn't God, would you? Now that you need to answer in your own heart before the Lord. Would you change it? Listen, if you need to get up here, please get up here quick. Because I'm going to pray for these folks. And why would you stay in your seat if you fit this description? That wouldn't even make sense to me. Please get up here. Thank you. Who am I missing? Thank you. I appreciate you coming. Thanks for your humility. Listen, guys. Right now, I need you to do one simple thing. Whether you need to close your eyes or look up or whatever, from your heart, I want you to believe right now that God loves you. Right now that God is willing and ready to forgive you of anything you've ever done. You believe that? And settle this in your heart. And this is a serious question. If you could go back and change decisions you made and things you've done and places you've been, would you do different if you had the chance? That's an important question. You would, wouldn't you? Would you? You know the answer to that. Would you? Yes. That's a good answer. What it means is you've changed and it's not who you are. And yes, you might have made a mistake and you might have learned a hard lesson, but it's a lesson nonetheless. And I'm telling you, mercy triumphs over judgment. So right now we're going to pray. Stretch your hands to these people, church. And I want you to begin to thank God for new life through Jesus Christ. You guys, come on, house. You guys are people of prayer. Thank God right now that He makes old things pass away and all things become new. Come on, believe that, church, over your brothers and sisters. It took humility to come up here. It took faith to come up here. And I'm proud of every one of you. I don't really need to do this, but I'm just going to say, be affirmed right now in the wholeness of the gospel. Be healed and be redeemed and be restored in Jesus' name. Mercy of God come upon these people. Father, I ask for mercy in Jesus' name. Mercy come. It's okay. It's all right. Father, I thank you. You do a work in him. I thank you. You come and touch him like he's never been touched by you before. Break every lie, God. Break every lie. Spirit of God, come. Thanks. More, Lord. Go deeper. That's right. Go deeper. Confront every lie, break every chain, and shut up every voice, God. Shut up every voice that's not you. No, you loose him and you let him go. Every lying voice. You thing that's tried to steer him, you go. And you never return. In the authority of Jesus' name. God, I thank you. You hear him, God. He's saying, I want that. Thank you that you give him that. He wants that, God. Thank you that he's not a prisoner to anyone or anything. Thank you he's not a prisoner to any spirit, any voice, or even his own soul. I thank you, God, he's given unto you. I thank you tonight he's come up humbly and he's saying, the best I understand, I want this change.
I want a better life.
Bring it, God. Bring clarity, bring wholeness, bring grace, and bring peace. And Father, I thank you. Man, please give me your hands. Every addiction and every compulsion, you loose him tonight and you let him go. Don't you ever drive him again. I want you to do this humbly with me. You can just whisper it out. You're not on the spot. Just say this. Say, Father.
Father.
Thanks for helping me tonight.
He helped me a lot tonight.
Just say this. Say, thanks for helping me tonight. I know. That's why I'm having you pray this. And you say, God,
God,
thanks for breaking every chain.
Thanks for breaking every chain.
I opened the door to things in my life.
I opened the door to things in my life.
And I wish I wouldn't have.
And I wish I wouldn't have.
Now, I know I can say this and it'll fit. You watch this. Say, I'm done blaming people.
I'm done blaming people.
And making excuses. Come on, man.
I'm done making excuses.
And I'm trusting you tonight.
I'm trusting you. There's nobody else I can.
Make me free.
Make me free.
Thanks for loving me.
Thanks for loving me.
I receive it.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Jim's just standing behind Jesus, going to pray with you a little. That's good. That's good. Don't you move. You just let Holy Spirit do what he's doing. There's a work taking place in you, man, and God's doing some cool things. Compulsions and stuff like that, I'm telling you, have no place in you. They're breaking off of you. I'm telling you, things are changing for you. I'm so proud of you for coming here. Bless them, Lord. I'm just going to do this quickly. You guys are praying. This is awesome. This is a praying house, man. Jesus, no, just stand there. It's okay, honey. You'll receive this. This is good. Yep. I tell people, it's the train. It's rolling. There ain't no getting off now. This is good. He loves you. He redeems you. In Jesus' name. Honey, the godly sorrow you've experienced, I'm telling you, is enough. I'm telling you, I hear this. The tears you've cried are enough, and God doesn't even need them cried anymore. It's not about you regretting and thinking back. It's about you from tonight on looking up and saying, yay, God, thank you, and I'm going to run. I'm running towards you. I'm not running away. And I'm running towards truth. You are doing a great work in my life. Holy Spirit, come right now. Thank you. Wash right through her. Right through her. Every chain you break and everything loose her right now. I command you get off of her. That's so good. In the authority of Jesus' name, you be vindicated, washed, and free. No, that's good. This is the power of God, man. He is taking things off your soul, off your emotions. I'm telling you, he's making you squeaky clean and crystal clear. I hear crackly clear in your mind. He's taking away the fog. He's taking away the fuzz. You know what I'm saying? He's taking it away. I'm telling you, I see it. He's your father, and he talks to me very clear. He loves people, and he's here to love you tonight. Those days are over. You're not going to know them anymore. Today is a day of change. It's a day of clarity, and all things are becoming new as you stand here before me, says the Lord. I bless you in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, thank you. Never the same. God, I thank you. No strongholds. Don't believe there's something wrong with you anymore. Don't keep seeking help. Come on. Say thank you in your heart. I'm blessed, I'm free, and I have every reason to run. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not a product of my past. I'm a product of your finished work. Say that again. There is nothing wrong with me.
There's nothing wrong with me.
I'm your girl.
I'm your girl.
And you make all things new.
You make all things new.
Watch this. This is good. Say, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Come into me. And come upon me.
And come upon
and teach me your love. Jesus' name. Yes, fun stuff. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you. Washed clean. Washed clean. Who's here that I'm missing? Is some other people here for prayer? Okay, washed clean. Good. Thanks for coming, guys, all of you. Yeah, you're good. I can get you. I don't even need to touch you guys. I just want to because I love you guys. I'm so proud of you for coming up here. You be released, every one of you. It's not about where you've been. It's about what you're doing now. That's what matters more than anything. True repentance is important. I'd never make light of that. But God's mercy is greater than our sin. In Jesus' name, be free, honey. In Jesus' name, be made clean. Come out of her body in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Are you just supporting her? It's okay, sweetie. In Jesus' name. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come. Thank you. That's right. Just love her and let her know how much she's received right now. How much you're not mad, not disappointed. How much you're bringing change to everything about her life and her desires and her heart. God, make all things new as she stands here before you. Take away yesterday and make all things new. I hear this. You follow the convictions of your conscience from this day forward. Don't violate your conscience. Treat it like a precious organ. Treat it just like you would the most vital organs of your life. I hear the Lord say, honey, do justice to your conscience. When your conscience violates you, follow it and say, okay. Don't go against that. Don't ever dull your heart by disagreeing with your conscience. Let your conscience lead you. I'm making it clean tonight. I'm making it clear. And I'm giving you the ability to separate things and discern things and to know the truth. You follow your conscience, I hear the Lord say, and you will run well, my dear. Man, I bless you. Lean up here, buddy, just so I can touch you. I bless you, son. I thank you for your humility coming up here. And God, I ask your mercy on his life. I ask you to begin to grant him understanding. Make his heart come alive for you. Make him hunger you and desire you on the inside, because deep in his heart, he wants that. Give him understanding. Give him revelation. Don't let him stay confused in any way, God, concerning you or concerning life. I ask that this would become a day of clarity for him, that he would begin to understand purpose and value and destiny. I thank you life is no longer an experiment, and I thank you that he actually has a zeal in his heart to live and to live strong in you. I thank you, God, that this isn't a time to be discouraged anymore. This isn't a time to talk long lengths of things that take him in a circle. I don't know what I see there, but God's cutting off that language, cutting off that voice. And he's going to direct your heart to truth, to transformation and change. And these are a good thing. And man, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I hear God saying, I never, ever desired to control you. I've just wanted to love you. Let me love you.